You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hey everyone, Tim McMaster here, along with our MLB.com Phillies reporter Todd Zalecki. And first of all, Todd, Happy New Year as we officially get into 2017. Thanks for joining us once again.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
We're going to start on that theme as we get back to the hot stove season with the Phillies. And exactly what should the Phillies' New Year's resolution be? And what I mean by that is what do the Phillies need to do here in the next few months or once the season starts to make 2017 a successful campaign on the baseball field? What would you say their New Year's resolution needs to be?
Well, I think the biggest thing would be seeing these prospects develop. But if I was going to get to something specific on the field, I think a great New Year's resolution for the Phillies would be to improve their on-base percentage. They were 29th in baseball last season in on-base percentage. And it's a number, quite frankly, you know, obviously that needs to go up dramatically in 2017 if the Phillies are going to take a step forward. Because the offense really held them back last year. They were after that 24-17 start, and that was all because of some really good starting pitching. But once the starting pitching kind of fell apart and some pitchers got hurt, et cetera, they just did not have the offense to keep them in any games. So, you know, it starts with a guy like Freddie Galvis. He was last in baseball and on base percentage. You know, Tommy Joseph had a nice September. If he can keep that up, that'd be a good sign. So you look at around the lineup, the Phillies actually improved in September in that department. They had a team on base percentage of 324. If they could do that over the course of the entire season, it would have ranked 12th in baseball last year. So they showed some signs in September of turning it around, but if they can do that, you know, the trick is doing it over the course of a six-month season. But that's something that really does need to improve, because it just got to be really hard for these starting pitchers. You know, they basically felt that he needed to go out and throw a shutout or, you know, give up a one run or two runs to have a chance at all of staying in the game last year.
Yeah, and that's the last thing you need on the minds of young pitchers, is that they can't make a mistake. There needs to be a little leeway there for the young pitching. Speaking of the starting rotation, and they've added Clay Buchholz now during the offseason, and Jeremy Hellickson obviously coming back. So there's kind of your couple of veteran guys to go with, obviously, all these youngsters. Is there more work to be done? Do they need to add another starter before the beginning of spring training, or are they good with what they have right now?
I think they're good with what they have right now. In fact, I was a little surprised that they got Clay Buchholz, because indications I had received in talking to people in the organization were, you know, they have so many young starting pitchers in the system and on the 40-man roster that they might want to just turn those guys loose and see, you know, kind of who sinks or swims. But now that they have Hellickson and Buchholz as the two veterans in the rotation, you have Jared Eichhoff in there for sure. You have Vince Velasquez in there for sure. And right now, I'd say Aaron Nola is a heavy favorite to be the number five starter. I don't know if it remains to be seen how it's going to shake out through spring training, but Aaron Nola is a heavy favorite, in my opinion, for that fifth and final job, assuming that he is healthy and he returns to form. You know, he finished last season on the disabled list with an injured right elbow. He pitched in the Instructional League last fall in Clearwater, Florida. The Phillies sent him home. They said he is absolutely fine. We're super optimistic about him. If that's the case, I almost just don't see how he doesn't get that fifth starter's job. But then you look behind him, you have Jake Thompson, Alec Asher, Zach Eflin, Adam Morgan. You have two top prospects in Ben Lively, who is their minor league pitcher of the year, Nick Pivetta, who they got in the Jonathan Papelbon trade a couple years ago. They have a lot of young pitchers in the system. Mark Appel, who's coming back from an elbow injury. So a lot of these guys, they have a lot of depth. So I think right now with Buchholz and Hellickson, you know, as the two veterans, I think they're going to stick with what they have and just hope that some of these young guys step up this year.
Yeah, plenty of quantity. It's time they found out about the quality, and some of it was certainly there a year ago. We'll see how it goes the rest of the way. So when you look at the hot stove season overall here, there's still 6 weeks or so to go before pitchers and catchers are going to report down to Clearwater, Florida. Are the Phillies just sitting back at this point and waiting for the first pitch to be thrown in Clearwater, or is there something they still need to add to this roster?
Well, I think they would still like to add a bat. And, you know, I was on MLB Network a couple weeks ago, and I mentioned that Brandon Moss makes a lot of sense. And then John Heyman reported that the Phillies have some interest in not only Moss, but Michael Saunders. So remains to be seen if they can get a deal done with either of those two guys. But Moss, to me, has made sense for a long time for this reason. He can play left field, he can play right field, and he can play some first base. He can kind of platoon it at first base a little bit with Tommy Joseph, or at least give him a break. So I think if he can play left field, right field, first base, he could get enough bats. He's got some power, which the Phillies really sorely need, and just gives him a little bit more depth. And he might be available or might be willing to come to the Phillies and maybe on a one-year deal because he really faded hard last year with the Cardinals. I think he was like – he finished like 10 for 106, and his OPS went from like 930 to 780 in the course of a month. So he really took a hard fall in his final month with the Cardinals. So, you know, his versatility and the possibility you could get him on a short-term deal just screams Phillies to me, you know, with what they're trying, what they've been trying to accomplish this offseason. And again, like I said, the power that he could bring to that middle of that lineup and maybe give Michael Franco a little bit of protection.
You mentioned when it comes to the starting rotation, finding out who sinks and who swims. Is that kind of a theme for 2017 for this entire roster? It's time to really find out when you look at the next Phillies team that's going to contend and going to be in the playoffs, who are the guys that are going to be the core of that team?
Yeah, I think so. I asked Andy McPhail that question a couple weeks ago, and he says, you know, he would never put a time frame on it because he says different players develop at different times, so you don't want to just say, all right, by the end of the year, we have to know who's going to be part of our future, which I understand. You know, some players do develop. It might click for Nick Williams, a year after J.P. Crawford, for instance. But that said, certainly the goal this year is to have a much better idea of who can play and who cannot play because I think they're going to hit that free agent market beginning next season, next off season. So, for instance, they really love Cesar Hernandez at second base. They like Freddie Galvis at shortstop, but the number two prospect in all of Major League Baseball is J.P. Crawford. He's going to start the season in AAA. J.P. Crawford starts the season in AAA, hitting the ball well. If it just looks like he absolutely needs to be promoted, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with Freddie Galvis and what happens to Cesar Hernandez. Does Freddie Galvis move to second base? Does Freddie Galvis become a utility infielder? Stuff like that. You know, who's going to be the right fielder? Roman Quinn could be the opening day right fielder. Could be Aaron Altherr. You know, if one of those guys takes the job and runs with it, great. If not, then you have Nick Williams. You have Dylan Cousins in AAA. You have a lot of options. So I think by the end of the year, they want to have a clearer picture because then once they know, you know, J.P. Crawford's the real deal or, hey, wow, Tommy Joseph hit 35 home runs, you know, now we don't need to look for a first base, but now they can maybe spend some money in the rotation or in the bullpen or in the outfield, et cetera. So, you know, that's kind of the goal this year is understanding that while guys develop at different times, that they should have a much better idea of, who's going to be a part of the future and who's not going to be a part of the future.
Yeah, and the 2017 offseason heading into 2018 could certainly be a lot of fun for Phillies fans as the Phillies open up the wallets again, hopefully, as this team gets back to contending in the next couple of years. All right, great stuff as always, Todd. This has been MLB.com Extras, our Phillies edition. For Todd Zielecki, I'm Tim McMaster. Tune in again next time.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.